Welcome to the Point Forward podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
The Point Forward podcast, emergency podcast edition. It is unfortunately not for good news at all. The Bucks do lose Game 4 to the Atlanta Hawks. What a roller coaster day. They learn that Trae Young isn't going to play going into the game. They end up losing, though, 110-88, but obviously the score is secondary concern for Bucks fans. Giannis Antetokounmpo goes down in the third quarter with a knee injury. The Bucks called it a hyperextended knee. He needed help getting off the floor. I think at this point, everybody is fearing the worst. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. I am host of the Point Forward podcast. On the other line is Jim Ozarski, still in Atlanta, awaiting his flight home as he was there checking out the Bucks. Bucks-Hawks game. Series is now tied 2-2, but just everything has changed with this injury to Giannis. And as we record this, we don't know what his injury is. It's super late Tuesday. We haven't heard for sure, but I mean, we're all thinking it's an ACL, right? It just seems like the type of injury it could be something slightly less worse, but something that's still going to keep him out for a while. I don't know. Any hope, Jim, that they could have somehow dodged a bullet here in your mind, or should they just be planning on no more Giannis for the postseason?
Yeah. As we record this, JR, you know, the official word from the Bucks was a hyperextension of that left knee. Clearly, it looked like that. I mean, Mike Budenholzer said he did not have any imaging that he was aware of in Atlanta. Obviously, they're heading home, and he'll likely undergo all those tests in Milwaukee. I hesitate to speculate on what it could be. Athletes sometimes are very bendable. I guess I go more off of the reaction and the fact that he yelled that loudly and looked like he was in that much pain sort of in the moment. You know, I know he came back, the broadcast showed him, we saw him walk back out with a limp and, you know, maybe he was just trying to, you know, show that he could walk without an issue. Again, JR, having covered the NFL, I've seen guys play NFL games on torn ligaments, so I don't really put much stock into walking around, especially when, like, you have quads and hamstrings like the size of, you know, my chest. that stuff kind of comes back. So, but to your point, look, this is the same knee he sprained earlier this year. You know, when he missed 6 games over 2 weeks and tried to play through it, this is the same knee that just 15 months ago in Los Angeles, he suffered a joint capsule sprain, which people kind of forget about because it was right before the pandemic shut everything down. He showed up in the bubble, was able to play, you know, 3-4 months later. So that's a lot of damage to the same joint over a 15-month period. I would be shocked if he was able to play game 5. I would be stunned if he's able to play in this series. It's every other day, there's travel. I watch Aaron Rodgers do what he did in 2018. JR, I know it's a different sport, they move differently. I hesitate to say right now, you know, season over, you know, early part of next year over. But it definitely was a scary thing. And yeah, the Bucks got a rally. They got to regroup here in just, 24, 48 hours.
Obviously, what you just mentioned there at the end is probably an even broader concern. Right now, everyone's focused on the short term here, the fact that they are 2 games away from their first NBA final since 1974. But there's a long-term issue at play here. I mean, this maybe isn't Kevin Durant in the playoffs when he tore his Achilles, but it would be close to that. I mean, you're looking at a long rehab process. If it is the worst case scenario, an ACL tear, that would certainly knock out a pretty good chunk of next season for the Bucks. That's a secondary concern right now, but it is, on the cusp of his Supermax extension beginning. The timing could not be It just simply could not be worse. So the first question will be, as everyone wakes up Wednesday, what is the status of Giannis? We know there's more imaging coming. We'll probably get an update pretty quickly in the day, I have to think. The second question is, can they win this series without him? We've talked on the last podcast that they've tightened their rotation down to essentially 8 reliable players. And now it would be down to 7, and the best of them is no longer there. We know that Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday are all-star players and can lead this team against a team like the Hawks, which I still maintain, especially considering Trae Young isn't going to be at 100%. I don't think Atlanta is out of hand better than Milwaukee, even if Milwaukee doesn't have Giannis. I think Milwaukee might still be the better team. However, as we saw in Game 4, Atlanta can certainly hand it to Milwaukee at times, and you'd be asking Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday to do something that they haven't all done in this series, and that's be consistently good on offense. Chris Middleton had an off night in Game 4, and as did Drew Holiday. They've shown up in spurts. We saw what Middleton did in Game 3, but you know, we haven't seen good shooting performances from this team all playoffs long. Do they have it in them to win this series, two out of three here going forward?
Yeah, JR, they do. You know, because again, it's you got to pull back and look. PJ Tucker was not thrilled. Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, the three players who spoke after the game were not thrilled with their overall effort before. I mean, that dunk that he got hurt on, you know, put them up 10. They were up 16 earlier. It was a replay of Game 3, essentially.
Totally.
And
without the kickback before half, you know, they did not play well at the end of the first half.
Yeah, so they. You know, the Bucks were not thrilled with how they performed, what they did, which makes me think, okay, you got a couple of veterans who are pretty good at what they do, kind of pissed off at themselves. Add in, you know, the narrative's going to turn. You know, these guys hear that stuff. Wow, the Bucks, what can they do? It's over. These guys got pride, you know what I mean? And look, the Bucks went 4-4 this year without Giannis when he sprained the knee. There were 6 games in a row he missed. He missed 2 before. You know, so they've been in this. Bobby Portis is, I would imagine, is going to start. I don't know. I mean, maybe Pat Connaughton. That's what they did, Jay. I remember talking about this. It was like, who do they start? They went big and small, big and small. I think they start Portis just because he's another big to help with the rebounding. And yeah, I think they can. I think your point, though, is very good in that Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton need to be consistent together. We have not seen that very often. It has happened. It's just not been often. Who knows, JR? I mean, look, it's almost like the Nets scenario where Harden goes out in Game 1 and Irving and Durant kind of slide back into some roles they were familiar with. And they just – obviously the Bucks aren't better. Like, I'm not going there. That's not true. I still think they could beat the Hawks, though. And Trae Young, again, he missed the game with a bone bruise. Again, that's another situation where I would be surprised. I wouldn't be shocked if he played, but I'd be surprised if he played Game 5.
Interesting.
Yeah, I just don't. I mean, I think what's interesting about him is that he wasn't in a protective boot in Atlanta. I don't know what that means. I think usually you're wanting to keep off of that stuff. So I don't know. But either way, JR, can you imagine? Can you think Trae Young is just going to be Trae Young if he plays? I don't think so.
No, and that brings me to another point that I talked about Game 3. When Trae Young was off the floor in the fourth quarter, the Bucks were backsliding. And this is before Chris Middleton really took over. And when Trae Young checked back onto the floor, I don't think that his inability to move was necessarily the difference maker. I mean, Trae Young's already, I think, I don't know if I'd say liability on defense, but it's at least the conversation to call him a liability on defense. They're just different with him off the floor. And I did think it would be a lower scoring game because I didn't think the Bucks would score 88 points, but I did think it would be a lower scoring game with Young unavailable because I thought that they would sort of recommit to defense. And I do think a hobbled Trae Young is kind of an asset for Milwaukee. I mean, he's still going to hit some crazy threes or whatever, but you know, that should be pretty comfortable for the Bucks. I agree with you. Like, if he plays, I don't know if that's necessarily going to be something that holds the Bucks back. I'd be surprised he doesn't play, but your point earlier is also a good one. Like travel, it's only every other day. I mean, if Trae Young ain't playing in a game that, you know, could have basically decided Atlanta's season, they won it, but it would have been a disaster if they'd lost. I don't know why we should think he's going to play 2 days after that. I just presume always that the other guys, other teams' players are going to do whatever they can to get on the floor.
Yeah, it is interesting with that stuff. I just feel like, you know, these guys, their whole livelihood is their feet, their legs. And if that's impaired, and look, Trae Young is a 6 foot dude who relies on speed and touch and floaters. It just seems like it doesn't make much sense. So yes,
and cutting especially.
Right. So credit the Hawks. Look, they Nate McMillan, it's kind of funny, JR, because he's flat out says, this is our game plan. Just sort of go at it. And I'm going to have to play Cam Reddish, even though he just came back from an Achilles procedure. He said that because, again, no Young. He said they're going to have to push the envelope, and that's what they did. And as Drew Holiday said, he's like, they played desperately. He's like, they played like they did not want to go down 3-1, and that wasn't matched. I think, again, how we started this, the Bucks. I don't know. I think they're too veteran-y, is that a word, to be, like, desperate? I mean, look, Jared, they were down 0-2 to Brooklyn, right? They faced elimination to Brooklyn. So I don't think there's going to be panic without Giannis, not when you have a leadership group of Middleton, Brooke Lopez, PJ Tucker, even Pat Connaughton, you know what I mean, in terms of just in the locker room. And think about a guy like Bobby Portis who – the whole stay ready, get gassed up. I mean, you know that guy knows what he's going to be asked to do, right? So I don't know. I think I think the Fiserv crowd will really help and really get behind their squad. So, it'll be – I don't know. I'll put it this way. I know I'm coming back here for game six. I do think the Bucks will win at Fiserv. And then we'll just have to see, you know, where Trae Young is at in that game six. Because I just don't see Giannis. That would just stun me, like I said, if he was able to come back at all in this series especially.
Yeah, let's assume he's out. Let's assume he's out for at least the Atlanta series. I personally am thinking a lot longer, but let's just assume it. So the Hawks, their bench really stepped up. You had Cam Reddish, like you mentioned, 12 points. This is a guy that hadn't played since February until he showed up a little bit earlier in this series. But that guy was essentially just a complete non-factor, working his way back from injury, and he showed up on Tuesday night. Danilo Gallinari actually wasn't. I mean, if you told me that John Collins would have 4 points, Gallinari would have 10. You know, I know in my head, Young's out, Bogdanovich is still ailing. There's no way, no way, no way the Bucks get blown out of a gym with those numbers. But you had Onyeka Okongwu, who was awesome, 7 points, but a huge defensive asset for them, who played 15 minutes. I mean, Chris Dunn kind of showed up. Suddenly, it's the Hawks that have kind of some options, and the Bucks bench. I mean, yeah, Bobby Portis slides into the starting lineup or whatever, but then you've got Connaughton off the bench, and what else? Like this suddenly just becomes the smallest, tightest rotation, and I just don't know who's even available to step up for Milwaukee in this situation. I mean, Bryn Forbes would obviously get playing time, but is it Thanasis? Is it Elijah Bryant? Like, it's not Jeff Teague. We've seen Jeff Teague. It's probably not that. So, like, where does that come from for the Bucks?
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, Cam Reddish is a big deal. He's a good player. He's a good young player. We'll see how he reacts after 23 minutes, after the adrenaline wears off. Nate McMillan, there's a reason you don't want to play the kid. You know, like, that's an Achilles injury is nothing to mess with. But you're right. The Okongwu stuff is interesting because he kind of flashed a little bit in game three, giving Giannis a hard time. And look, you got a 20-year-old who's out there just kind of being physical. It goes beyond 2 points. I think, JR, to answer your question, it's, look, PJ Tucker scored 8 points early, you know, to help the Bucks kind of dig out of an early 10-point hole. He's going to have to give you 12 to 15. Brooke Lopez, Brooklyn Brooks got to show back up again. You know, three for six. You know, he had a three, 7 points. I think the Bucks can play that way. You know, Clint Capela is a good defensive center. He's an athletic guy, clearly. But there's still Brook Lopez. But in terms of the bench, yeah, that's I think you're rolling with your war horses here, JR. You know, Bobby Portis has got to give you 15 or 16. Connaughton's got to make a couple buckets. I mean, he had some good offensive rebounds again. Brent Forbes, I don't know, JR. Man, it's just
What's going on
not
there?
clicking for him. So you ask who else? It's that seven. I think at home, you know, the ultimate warrior, Thanasis Adetokounmpo, can come in and give you 40 seconds of crazy defense, you know, to give someone a breather, because that'll work against the Hawks. I mean, you know, Bogdan can't move, you know, Lou Williams can't move, you know, that can work at home, you know, in terms of just sort of giving you that kind of lift. But no, you're right. Atlanta's bench is sort of being redefined, whereas Milwaukee's is clearly being depleted.
Yeah, I don't even remember seeing Solomon Hill tonight. That's a guy who's been an option for them, but they found resources tonight. The Bucks did not. The Bucks did not have anybody rise up for them. And you mentioned Bryn Forbes. The 3-point shooting woes are really, really stark. And you know, it's obviously you're not going to shoot 39%. If you're a 39% regular season team like the Bucks are, you don't expect to shoot 39% in the postseason, but you don't expect to shoot 32%, which is basically what they're down to now. They have not at any point in this postseason really gotten hot from 3-point range, other than just some spurts here and there, including Chris Middleton in game three. But this is just a terrible shooting postseason for the Bucks, and they've gotten away with it. But it You know, especially if your playmaking big man is out, you're gonna need to find your touch from beyond the arc. And I don't know what you do about that. I mean, I don't think the looks are particularly bad. I thought the takes were they were really, really, I mean, a lot of bricks tonight. A lot of bricks in game four. Not necessarily the takes being bad, just shots that are way off the mark. And running the live blogs for these games at jsonline.com, you hear two thoughts, me saying, man, they've just got to start making threes. And then a lot of people coming at me saying, why are they even taking threes? They can dominate the paint. At least they could when Giannis was in there. They can get whatever they want. Why don't they just abandon that and go all in? I don't see that point of view. You know, I'm like, you still need threes. Like, you can't just crush dunks all day long. That's, you know, they will find a way to defend that. But I don't know. Like, to me, it's you got to shoot to live at this point, right?
Yeah, man, JR, 20% tonight, you know, and
It
what,
doesn't make any
27?
sense.
It doesn't. I don't, you know, we talked about this, you know, in the Brooklyn series with Forbes. It was like, well, I'll give credit to Brooklyn, right? Like, they're trying on defense and not giving him maybe the space that he saw, but it just doesn't, it does. It doesn't make sense to me. You know, Chris Middleton, you know, another offer behind the arc. Like, that's really weird. And I don't, and it's one thing, JR, to see, like, okay, so I wrote a bunch during the year how, you know, actually going into the playoffs for sure, how pretty much every player that mattered for the Bucks shot like a career best from the 3-point line. And my thought was, okay, playoffs, even if you regress, what are you regressing to? Like, your average. I mean, they have cratered. Every one of these guys is shooting way below career levels. And yeah, some of them are good looks. Some of them are really good looks. I mean, yeah, look, I get Giannis. People don't like it. I mean, I'm still surprised if he airballs a wide open three at this point. I mean, he's made enough of those. Pat Connaughton's airballed wide open three. PJ Tucker had one that like hit the front of the rim. Yeah, I don't know. You're right. You do have to keep shooting it, because you I mean, the math says at some point it's gonna turn like baseball, right? But sometimes you just have that bad year and it never turns for you. So you got to shoot it. I think JR, what we're going to see, I think what we have to see is Brooke Lopez being a big, you know, and PJ Tucker having to look for his shot maybe a little more. They tried today, but maybe a little more. You know, you can't have two starters combining for 15 points anymore or less. Like, that's just not. Giannis was 30 and 10, man. He was 30 and 10 and what, six every night? That's a lot. That's a lot. And so you need multiple people stepping up for that.
Lou Williams ends up leading the team in scoring for the Hawks. He's the guy who's, you know, of course, the three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year. He is a bench guy, but he subs into the starting lineup with Trae Young out, and he winds up having a very good shooting night, missed just a couple shots. Clint Capella was pretty effective on offense. He left the game late with he took a shot to the eye, and it sounds like he'll be available for Game 5, but that was certainly an interesting moment, especially because the Bucks had taken their starters off the floor, and the Hawks had not in a game that was clearly in hand. So that is something to watch. If Capella's availability or is limited, really, in any way, that would be something. But I guess I also just in general, we've kind of touched on it. Why didn't this team dominate with Trae Young off the floor? You know, like, it's either the floaters that he can throw up aren't an issue, so you'd think that Brook Lopez would be maybe a little more effective on defense in a more traditional, like, a lot of shots at the rim now, and he can maybe be more effective on defense. They shouldn't have had to worry about shooting from deep. I mean, Kevin Huerter can light it up a little bit, but he was actually kind of ineffective tonight for the most part. Why didn't it work? I mean, because it wasn't just like over the course of the game, like it was from the word go when they went behind big early. Clearly the Hawks had something tonight that they didn't have. I don't know if it's Bogdan Bogdanovic working his way back to health. He's still not 100%, but he at least was a little bit more involved tonight. I believe he led the team in shots for whatever that's worth, but he did make a few of them. Why didn't it work? Because if Trae Young's going to be out game five, they've got to find something else.
Yeah, I think it was, you know, man, I am going to lay it at the feet. How can I disagree with PJ Tucker and Jrue Holiday is what I'll say. Chris Milt, if they say
a little bit of desire, right?
Yeah. If they say the Hawks came out and wanted to just take it to them. And Cam Reddish, and that meant Cam Reddish was physical with Chris Middleton. He admitted, he's like, man, I was just slow kind of getting away from that dude. And, you know, rebounding again, it was a thing. The Bucks generally, when they win, they rebound well. The Hawks match them in rebounds, you know, and got some second chance points. You know, you're right. Collins, if you would have told me John Collins scores 4 points, I would have said there's no way the Hawks win this game. But, you know, Ongaku and Reddish, I would say Capella. Lou Williams is that sort of steady guy, you know. I thought Williams and Bogdanovic were passing up shots early, and maybe that was intentional on their part. But I for a bit there, JR, I was like, man, these dudes, I think I even tweeted that. I was like, oh, these guys have to shoot for the Hawks to win. And then, like, literally, that's when they started. Bogdanovic, 7-19. I mean, statistically, it's probably his best game of the last 2 weeks, but he still didn't look right. Right? Like, I mean, it was.
All 19 shots for 20 points. Like, that's not efficient.
Yeah. At 14 threes, like, I mean, he took advantage and was able to take advantage of Giannis being down. I mean, he had some open threes, I think, when things were crumbling. And credit to him, he made them. So, yeah, I think it just didn't work early because the Bucks just, like, they should have known what was coming. Maybe they did know what was coming, but Atlanta just, you know, kind of ran them over, for lack of a better word. And look, And now I'm curious how it changes, because part of that, JR, was the way they defended Giannis. Like, they didn't waste time with double teaming him. They did not waste time in sending people immediately to the paint. He didn't score until the second quarter. I think he only took 2 shots. You know, Chris Middleton, same thing. Didn't waste time sending a second body to him. So, and that's not a strength of Chris Middleton's. I mean, when they lost that 5 games in a row, Jay, I remember the mini sweep that they lost at home to Toronto. Like, that's basically what happened. Like, they kept, like, trapping and getting to Middleton and that double team really quickly making him uncomfortable. So I could see Nate McMillan doing that again. And, you know, to your point, when this all started, he's got to play well and Drew Holiday's got to play well for the Bucks to just make sure they don't get, you know, have another one stolen from them at home and yet again face elimination on the road.
We've seen Chris Middleton take over before. You go back to last year when Giannis was injured in the playoffs against the Miami Heat, left a game early. Game four, Chris Middleton takes over, wills the team to victory pretty much. The Bucks do ultimately, of course, lose that series in five, but we know he's capable of it. The Bucks do have two of three at home. I would maintain they absolutely have a really good chance to still win this series. It's obviously no longer crystal clear in my head that the Bucks are going to win this series. I still felt very good about it even after game one. It's impossible to feel that way right now. I don't know. I think you know. Before we just get out of here, the bigger issue ultimately will be the long-term issue here. I mean, an ACL that could be a year, easily a year. And this is obviously a different schedule because of COVID. You know, June 30th, there's not going to be NBA at June 30th of 2022. So, you know, it seems possible here that for the first year of his Supermax extension, Giannis might be sidelined. And I don't know if it would, I don't know if that's, I mean, that's obviously the most dire prediction possible. There's still a decent chance that he would play a bunch of next year, even if it was an ACL or a PCL injury or whatever we're talking about. But it's hard not to think about that Kevin Durant injury from a couple years ago. It feels like that sort of thing. And even to maybe a graver extent, I mean, the Warriors were hurt by Klay Thompson's injury too, but the Bucks don't have like that secondary superstar like the Warriors do with Steph Curry. This is, this is just a really dark day, dude. It's a really bad time.
Yeah, and I can definitely understand that, you know. As I said, I mean, this is his third injury on that knee in just 15 months. And who knows? I mean, maybe he is very bendable. And because, again, these athletes, they're freaks for a reason. And it truly is a hyperextension where, you know, there's some stretching of some ligaments, but there were no, you know, ruptures. There's a difference there. you know, and I don't know what capsule sprains are. Sounds like it hurts a lot, you know, like a bone bruise where, again, it's a bruise on your bone, man. I can imagine the pain. So I'm sure those are the things that they hope they see when they get back to Milwaukee and go through that there's nothing, you know, ruptured to a degree that, you know, major surgery is needed. But we'll see. You're right. It's, you know, if there was that does alter the timelines of things and it makes John Orr's job really interesting in the summer, but we'll see. JR, you're right, it's hard to guess. I know it's you know, we can all kind of think what we saw there, but I guess we'll find out. You know, I'm curious though, JR, if they'll list them as questionable, you know, like do the football style, you know. He'll be game time decision, but you know, it definitely is scary and we will see, you know, what it means for him and the team obviously going forward. Cause if there's a major injury in there, you know, they're going to want to get in there and get that fixed pretty quickly.
Bucks are back at Pfizer Forum on Thursday night. That is game five, of course, in this best of seven series. They'll be back in Atlanta State Farm Arena. That will be on Saturday with a game seven, if necessary, the subsequent Monday at Pfizer Forum. Hopefully by then, some Bucks fan spirits will be lifted back up. We'll maybe have a little more pep in the step. And, you know, who knows? This team could still go to the NBA Finals. That's the thing. Like, even if the as bad as this injury is, and it completely clouds their ability to win a title, they still could go to the finals. All they have to do is win two games against a team that they're better than. So that's still on the table.
That is 100% on the table. And I don't believe the Bucks are going to forget that they have games to play and can get to the NBA finals. I don't think they're maybe in their deepest, darkest thoughts, they'll think, man, whatever. But look, JR, I mean, Phoenix is healthy, but LA isn't, the Hawks aren't, now the Bucks aren't. They're not gonna think, they're not gonna concede anything. That's just not how these guys are built. So I think it's really more, I do think the fans will rally for game five, right? I think it's just what we see on social media. hashtag PFB, hit us with your thoughts. Where are you at? What's your temperature? But I think that's the biggest thing to remember if you're a Bucks fan is, they're halfway to that first trip since 1974, and that's a big deal. So we'll have to see how they finish it out.
He is Jim Ozarski. Find everything he has at jsonline.com. He will be covering the Bucks the rest of the way for as long as this journey goes. We know there's at least two more games and still hopefully a lot more. Thanks for joining us, Jim. We will chat with you again on the more regularly scheduled basis coming up very soon.
Yeah, hopefully it's regularly scheduled right after this.
Find us on Stitcher, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. We will talk to you again next week. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward Podcast. A Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.